The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the city of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo!
You should have been pulled in the front, but they have faith in you. You should have been pulled.
Welcome in. It's the Palazzo Podcast. Two L's.
Utah.
Two Z's.
Give me two.
I am Michael Govier. I am your fearless host for this evening on the show. Whenever you are watching or listening to this show, I'm glad to have you aboard. I'm very excited about today's show. It's a unique show. It's an opportunity to talk a bit about fantasy baseball, fantasy sports, and what we love about it. And there's somebody that, if you don't know who he is, get ready, because you need to know this person. He is today's guest. He has written a book, and we're going to talk all about it and then some. The man, the myth, the legend, here he is, Larry Schechter, everybody. Give it up. Welcome in, Larry. It's your first time on the Palazzo Podcast, and it's a pleasure to have you aboard.
Thank you. Now, was that, just for the record, was that a standing ovation I just got, or were they sitting?
I'm always standing when I do the show, so that was a standing ovation.
All right.
So, Larry, if people don't know you, tell them who you are. Why should they know you? Who are you? Fill us in. Let us know. I want to learn myself, too, because I'm getting to know you just like everybody else is.
Well, for fantasy sports, I've never been in the industry, but I have played in the two major fantasy baseball experts leagues, Labor and Pet Wars, for 20 years or so. I've won Pet Wars 6 times. I won Labor 3 times. I won the CDM National Challenge overall competition 2002, 2005. So I have a really good track record for fantasy baseball. I also, I don't have like a reputation as much for football, but I've actually been very successful in fantasy football also. And in 2014, I wrote a book called Winning Fantasy Baseball, which was an Amazon bestseller, all about my fantasy baseball strategy. And I just a few months ago released a new book called The History of Fantasy Sports and the Stories of the People Who Made It Happen.
That is awesome. Do you have any idea how hard I think it is to write a book? I mean, it's such a daunting challenge to me. I can't believe you're able to pull this off. For those that are watching on the YouTube, this is the latest and greatest, The History of Fantasy Sports. I assume this could be purchased wherever any book could be found, correct?
Yeah, it's online. Most booksellers online have it, paperback and ebook. Amazon, you know, is maybe the easiest to get it. And that's where you can see lots and lots of reviews and lots of details of what's in the book is on Amazon. But it's available most anywhere.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. I mean, if you write one book, do you get a taste for more? Is that how it kind of goes? Or did you feel like you had unfinished business?
Well, what happened is after I wrote my book in 2014, I would sometimes ask myself if I had any ideas, you know, for any other books. And the only idea I ever had that was even close to any good was about this, about the history of fantasy sports, because I would look around at the industry and I see you got millions and millions of people playing everything from fantasy baseball and fantasy football to fantasy cricket, fantasy Iditarod, fantasy wakeboarding, fantasy everything worldwide. you got a $25 billion a year industry. You've got news services, stat services, SiriusXM radio, 24/7 channel dedicated to fantasy. You got podcasts and YouTube shows like we're on right now. I mean, it's like everything. So I would just look around and go, like, where did this all come from? How did we go from games people played, you know, ideas for games people had years ago to this? And there's never been a book like this. Nobody has ever told the story. You can research little pieces of it, but, you know, so I've known for years, like, there needs to be a book like this. Somebody's got to do it. And like, well, finally said, well, I'll do it. And it's something I thought I could knock out in 3 or 4 months. I was crazy. It took 18 months of full-time work, researching and researching and researching, interviewing dozens and dozens of people and writing. So I had no idea what I was getting into, but it was worth it.
No regrets then.
Yeah. And the thing is, when I started, the idea was I'm going to write the history of fantasy sports, who did what, when, how it all happened. When I started researching and interviewing people, I started hearing all these amazing stories of what people did, like just fascinating, inspirational. Some would bring tears to my eye, lots of funny stuff. So I realized early on, I can write the history of fantasy sports. It'll get the job done. And it'll also come off as a very boring Wikipedia page. But by incorporating all these stories I'm hearing, it will get the job done and also be fascinating. So that's what happened. Is, you know, the reviews, people say it's easy to read, it's fascinating. People who've never played fantasy sports think it's fascinating because it's not about, you know, how to play fantasy sports or strategies, but the stories of the entrepreneurs who created this whole industry.
Man, I think when someone sits down to write a book, it could seem like it's the biggest thing they've ever tried to accomplish. But it sounds like from your perspective, and you tell me if I'm wrong, and yeah, please, I'm wrong all the time. But the more you got into it, maybe the easier it was to put this together because of these stories that you started to learn about and experience?
Well, when I started, I mean, I wasn't sure how I was going to put everything together. Like, you know, was I going to go like chronologically, like, you know, chapters, like, you know, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, or some other. I didn't know. But after, you know, I kind of started one topic at a time. And then after a while, I realized, okay, I'm going to go like, like top by topic. So it starts with the precursors to fantasy sports. The next chapter is the invention and spread of fantasy football, then the invention and spread of fantasy baseball, the first commercial games, the first publications, books, magazines, leading to like radio and TV, the legal issues, fantasy sports trade association, news services, stat services, you know, a chapter for like everything through more modern things like daily fantasy sports and worldwide expansion.
I went over and I checked out, you did a AMA on Reddit.
Yeah.
I think it was for football, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That, first off, that's awesome. That's a great idea. I think it's such a direct line to people when you can have conversations with them instead of like this, we can have a conversation, but when you do an AMA, it's just a unique opportunity to go directly to an individual, even if they're a bot, who knows? Some of these people may not be real, but you don't have to answer every question. And you answered a lot of questions, and really, nothing shocking to me, especially the football and baseball parallel and how much football just kind of took over fantasy baseball, which I think is fine, by the way. Like, fantasy baseball has its own little niche in the world, and that's just where it needs to be, in my opinion. I think it's just fine. I don't need to compete with football. I play football, too, but I'm happy with where fantasy baseball is because the people in that world, they're a smaller version of what football is, but they're also a more, the stories and the connections and the leagues and the, like, tout wars and all of these other models where people get together to play have a familial feel to them that football loses, especially when you go to something like the Fantasy Football Expo in Canton, which is a bigger event, and that's cool. I like that, but to me, I'm very satisfied with where fantasy baseball is.
Yeah, well, there, you know, there's a lot of camaraderie in any fantasy sport. One of the things that I didn't, you know, when I started researching the book and everything, I didn't realize something that was going to happen, which is just turned out, it's like throughout the book, is fantasy sports creates relationships, like unbelievably. It brings together coworkers, friends, like high school, college friends have stayed together for years because they had some kind of fantasy league. You got parents and children playing. It just brings people together. And that kind of ended up being one of the main themes throughout the book because it just is everywhere. You've got one of the dozens of people I interviewed is Mark Mariani, who was with CBS Sports and Turner Sports. And among other things, he's the guy who first pushed to get fantasy statistics on television broadcasts. You know, like the NFL, you know, he was involved with the Turner Sports, and, you know, they'd say, well, you know, we're putting the scores up, you know, it says on the screen, you know, Baltimore just scored a touchdown. And Mariani was telling him, like, no, you got to say who scored the touchdown and how many yards was it? Fantasy people need this information. And finally, yes, he got them to post it. And then when they did, ESPN followed right along. But the reason I'm bringing up Mariani is that was a year, you look confused. That was a year, and it was like Turner Sports or whoever it was that Mariani was with and ESPN, they split the Sunday night games. So Turner had the first 8 weeks and then ESPN had the next 8 weeks. So Turner did this fantasy stat like the eighth week, their last week or something of that season. And then when ESPN took over, they started doing it. So anyway, so Mariani, when Mariani got his first job in Chicago, he was invited to play in a fantasy football league, an office league. And he had never heard of it before. But when they explained it to him, he realized, if I join this league, I can call my boss's 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 boss in the fantasy office in Manhattan, and he'll take my call to talk about a trade or whatever. Whereas ordinarily, this guy wouldn't take his call in a million years. You know, and like that's what fantasy sports does. And you got you'll have a draft in Vegas where you got a plumber sitting next to the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, and they're talking like they're best buddies. And you got companies where you got like the salespeople and the IT people that would ordinarily never interact with each other interact because they're in a fantasy baseball or football or whatever league.
That's beautiful. There's a camaraderie there that I always appreciated. But what I realize with what you're saying now is that it kind of levels the playing field and opens doors that I never even considered because I just wanted to win money. But the truth is there are so many inter-office leagues, and that is a staple, just like a March Madness tourney bracket, right? It's the same concept except – it's all season long, which is many months. And over that time, yeah, you could definitely develop a relationship with somebody that maybe you really didn't know at all. And who knows where that'll take you, where that journey will go. That's cool.
Yeah.
I think go ahead, Larry.
No, so Lenny Melnick, who's very well known. He's been a radio host He owned a box company in Staten Island, somewhere near there in Long Island somewhere. He owned a box company. When he first got into fantasy sports, you know, he loved fantasy baseball, but then he ended up just like joining every league he could. He got into this, like every fantasy baseball league, fantasy hockey, fantasy whatever. So he's in like all these leagues, and it wasn't that he wanted to really play in all those leagues, but he did it because he realized it was good for business. Because he'd meet people at the drafts, and they'd be like, oh, what do you do? He said, well, I sell boxes. And like, oh, my company needs boxes. And he'd get orders.
Genius. Great call, Lenny. Yeah, there's so many, many stories like that. I mean, even myself, I would never be sitting here talking to you if it wasn't for fantasy sports right now. I decided to play more than just with friends. I started to branch out. I started to write about it. I started to do podcasts, like you said. And the next thing you know, I'm going to Las Vegas exclusively to do a draft when I never would have done so before. And I love that. You never know. It may seem like a foreign thing, a nerdy thing to outsiders. Like somebody who doesn't know much about fantasy sports, who looks at this show or listens and says, who's Larry Schechter and what's the deal with this book, will maybe not understand that there is such a unifying aspect to all this. And if you're just looking for a new direction in life, it's a great way to kind of just jump on the path and see where it takes you.
Yeah. Well, you know, when fantasy started, it was assumed by a lot of people that it was just played by geeky guys who lived in their parents' basement. And, you know, over a little bit of time, people realized, like, wait a minute, you know, everybody's playing fantasies, doctors, lawyers, you know, CEO of Fortune 500 companies. They realized, like, no, it's not just geeks, you know, it's mainstream.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really clear now. But yeah, that's what the book's about, too, is you go on this journey from where you first started to learn about it and where everything came from. And it doesn't matter. To me, when someone says they play fantasy football or fantasy basketball, whatever their preference is, it's not so much. There's unique things about each game, right, Larry? And I'm sure you learned that along the way when you wrote this book. But in the end, all of these similarities share a common bond of unity and expansion.
Yeah.
Among people.
Well, the common thread, I guess, is that, as Peter Schenke of RotoWire says, if it has a statistic, you can make a fantasy game out of it.
Yeah.
You know, is basically the bottom line.
Also, fun fact for everybody out there, Larry's favorite rapper is Doja Cat. Is that still correct, Larry?
I'll go with Doja Cat. Yeah, you're going back from a while ago, but yeah. I'll go with Doja Cat. I like her better when she has hair, though.
Well, you also mentioned Eminem in that AMA, and I'm from Detroit, so of course, yeah, love me some Eminem. He's our Lions here with how good the Lions are here. Eminem has just become so incorporated with, he's at every Lions game, and he's always doing stuff with the Lions, like at the draft last year. So yeah, I love to hear that.
All right.
What's something unexpected about this book? Is there something unexpected that maybe would surprise even me? Let's take it from the more hardcore fantasy player. Is there something surprising about this book?
Well, there are lots of surprising things. I mean, the thing is, most people have, you know, including me, have no idea about any of this. I mean, even like Paul Charchian, for example, was the president of the FSTA for 12 years. And he's been in the industry his whole life. And he read the book. And he's like, you know, this is fascinating. I didn't know a lot of this stuff. So that's, you know, and there's a lot of surprising and interesting things in the book. And one, here's something that blew my mind, and it, you know, probably blow your mind too. Now, when I started the book, I was aware of the statistic that 50 million people play fantasy sports in the United States. And that's age 18 and up. It doesn't count under 18. And there's a lot of under 18 playing fantasy sports.
There is.
Okay, yeah. Now, I knew that. What I didn't know until I was, you know, doing the book is, guess how many people in India play fantasy cricket?
Oh, wait a minute. So when you mentioned that earlier, you were serious?
Yes.
Wow.
Fantasy cricket, India.
5 million. 5 million people.
Well, 50 million in the U.S. play fantasy, all fantasy sports. You're guessing 5 million play fantasy cricket in India. Try 200 million.
Much larger population. That equates. That checks out, Larry. You're right.
This is Ed 209, the future of law enforcement. Old Detroit, you must rate and review the Palazzo podcast with 5-star rating. You have 20 seconds to comply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And Future Stronger You can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 31st. See home club for details.
So I'm an epileptic, yeah. And there's a guy, you know, one of the stories in the book. Now, like APA and Stratomatic were some of the precursors to fantasy sports because they're based on professional athletes and their statistics, but statistics from prior seasons. So it's not what I refer to as, you know, what I refer to as fantasy sports is based on, you know, statistic. You draft people before their statistics have occurred. But, you know, here's an interesting story. There are a lot of App and Stratomatic leagues. People started in high school, college, been around for years, or some of them still going, like 50 years
yes.
later. Yeah. There's a guy in one of these leagues. He had been in the league for many years, an APA baseball league, and he got ALS. And so everybody, including him, assumed he was going to have to stop playing. His wife said, if you want to keep playing, I'll do whatever I have to do so you can play. So she went to the games with him. She rolled the dice for him. He would tell her what moves to make. And he did this for 3 years. The third year, he was in a condition where he could only communicate through an eye reader and a computer, and his wife could read his lips. And in that condition, his team came from two runs behind in extra innings to win his first ever APA World Series championship after 39 years in the league.
No way.
Yep.
Wow.
And in my book I even put the link where you can see the story about it and see the picture of him.
That's beautiful. Well, that is powerful stuff right there. That's unexpected. I would not have expected that story.
Okay. Yeah, see, I said the thing, it took me 18 months. And you know, there was a point, I guess fairly quickly, where I realized, like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? Because like everything I research, I find out something, it sends me down four more rabbit holes. And then there's things where I gotta, like, I hear one story, then I hear another story. I say, you know, what's true? I gotta be like a detective. But the thing is, you know, I realized, like, oh my God, what have I got myself into? This is gonna take forever. But I would keep hearing these fascinating stories and these funny stories and everything. I said, oh my God, this book is gonna be freaking great. Like, this is great stuff, and nobody knows this. Like, I'm now the only person in the world who knows all this stuff. So that kept me going through the whole thing.
I think about Twitter and where it's at right now. And, you know, 5 years ago when I first got in, I went right to Twitter, and in fantasy baseball specifically, everybody was on there, and it was a focal point, and I got to make a lot of connections just through that area. But, you know, things change. You know, it changes ownership, and I don't care about all that stuff. What I do care about is, you know, where things are going in terms of how people connect in terms of a home base. And that can be hard to find when there's Twitter, and then there's Discord, and there's YouTube, and there's all these other venues where you could spend time together, but you don't know if everybody's participating in the conversation or not. And that's why I think what you're doing and harnessing this into one focal point is such a very valuable and useful thing to do, because now we have a home base, in a sense, to kind of read stories or listen to, right? There's an audiobook, right?
No.
Oh, there's not. Oh, okay.
No. Maybe
I misunderstood
coming.
That.
No, that may or may not. There may or may not ever be an audiobook.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so reading these stories together and understanding the history, it's all in one location. And I would imagine that since you did this, that maybe there'll be a follow up. And maybe would you ever consider doing some other stuff digitally that are shorter stories where you kind of continue the journey? Or is that something you're not sure about at this point?
At this point, I would say no. Just because it was, you know, it was so much work. And then even since finishing the 18 months, it's been all kinds of work getting the thing published and out and then promoting it. Because if I don't promote it, nobody's going to do it. You know, I don't have a publicity crew. So I need people, like, if you're listening to this, buy the book. You'll love it. If you're busy, just, get it, read it when you have time, and tell everybody. You know, I need to get the word out. Tell everybody things like, if you buy like a like a good strategy book, or you find a good website like Football Guys. You think, oh my God, Football Guys, their information is so great. It's really helping me with my football league. You don't want to tell anybody about it. You don't want to tell your league mates about it. You want that as your secret weapon. But this is something you can share with your league mates. You can buy it for them for Christmas. Well, you miss Christmas, but you can, you know, you can share it. You can buy it for people. You can share it, because it's not going to, you know, give them an edge.
Right. This is so spot on. You're right. This is not something where there's secrets that need to be kept forever so that nobody finds out who your sleeper is and then takes advantage of your source of information. This is an opportunity to welcome, share, and celebrate what fantasy sports is, was, and can be still, right? I mean, was there any look to the future in this book at all? Or was it more, it's called The History, so I get that. But did you have any part of that where you thought about including that even? Or did you just want to kind of keep it about stories in the past?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. People ask me that all the time. They're like, where do you think it's going? And, you know, I have no idea. In fact, the last line, I wrote a short epilogue. The last line of the epilogue is basically saying, you know, where is this going to be in 10 or 20 or 50 years? I have no idea. I'll be interested to find out, but I wouldn't even hazard a guess. So I wrote that in the epilogue, and then I published the book, and every time I talk to people, I go, well, where do you think it's going in the future? It's like, I have no freaking idea. You know, and somebody was asking me earlier today about, well, you know, what about artificial intelligence? And like, well, I don't know, if you get a really good artificial intelligence, like predicting player performance, if you can do it better than humans, then everybody will start using some artificial intelligence program. It's going to come up with like the same answer. So everybody go into a draft with the same exact, you know, dollar values or whatever, and it ruined the whole game.
Couldn't agree more. And I think, first off, anybody asks that question, they're not able to answer it themselves. People are always wondering where things are headed and what's the next big thing in terms of, hey, news sources. Like I said, a kind of home base. Where do I go to chat about fantasy baseball? I mean, we have websites everywhere. There's so many people that celebrate fantasy baseball and fantasy football. And now I'm going to look into fantasy cricket. I have a long night ahead of me of going in on a deep dive of fantasy cricket and seeing what the hell's going on there, because it makes all the sense of the world. You're right. It's a huge population, and cricket is incredibly popular. I mean, I don't know the game, but that makes all the sense to me. So now I have to find out how deep this rabbit hole goes.
Yeah, and fantasy soccer is really big in Europe and South America.
Fantasy soccer. Hmm. Yeah, I think the farthest I ever went was fantasy hockey. The most, like, maybe lesser played one, I would say, is probably fantasy hockey for me. What about you? You played?
Yeah. I've never played those. I'm just saying it's, you know, cricket's big in India and soccer's big in Europe and South America. I've never played those. You got to play a sport that you like. You know, you can't, if you don't like cricket or soccer, you don't want to play fantasy cricket or fantasy soccer.
I agree. Couldn't agree more.
You know, there's even fantasy Congress. It's not real popular, but there is a fantasy Congress and some people play it. So like you could take Ted Cruz and I'll take Marco Rubio, and then you can take, Elizabeth Warren, and I'll take Mike Johnson or somebody. And every time like somebody speaks on the floor of the House or the Senate, we get points. If one of our people sponsors a bill, we get points. And if they vote against their party on a vote, we get bonus points.
Oh, okay.
Right. So somebody like Manchin in West Virginia, he'd be really valuable, I guess. So I mean, yeah, and this is actually this game is actually most popular with high school civics classes. See, now it makes sense.
Wow, I mean, we used to do a ton of stuff like that.
This woman came up with this idea, Fantasy Congress, and some people play it, especially some high school civics classes play it to teach about, you know, Congress.
I know I've heard of fantasy movies, like fantasy box office, where people pick movies and base it off the biggest box office opening of the weekend. That's a fun one. I actually tried that once. That's probably the most unique one I ever did. And I actually enjoyed that because I love movies. So that was a good time. But you know what's a better time? Is making sure you follow Larry on Twitter, at Larry Schechter. That's C and then an S. Nope, that's an S and a C-H-E-C-H-T-E-R. Larry Schechter, S-C-H-E-C-H-T-E-R. Right. And you can connect with him on there on Twitter or X, whatever the hell they call it now. And then, of course, the book is everywhere that you can find books. Amazon's a great place to start. The History of Fantasy Sports and the Stories of the People Who Made It Happen. That is now available. Please purchase it. Give it a shot. Share it with friends. Share it with the whole league. You know, buy a copy for everybody. Take a shot. I think there's a lot of fun to be had here with the book. And in fact, I'm thinking of my league now. And sometimes we do this thing where we give, instead of like money, which we always do, but in addition, sometimes we'll get each other gifts. And I'm thinking this is a perfect gift for that league I'm in. I'm going to do that. I'm really going to do that. And I'm hoping that the people will, you know, get excited about it. Because when I think about all of the good times and the bad I've had from fantasy sports, it's been a giving source of life for me, whether there were good or bad times. And I like all the times about life, Larry. I like the celebrations of championships and money. And I love telling the stories of painful defeats, too. Like, to me, those are all things that make playing fantasy sports worthwhile. So this is something I'm very, very grateful that you gave some time to talk with me about.
Thanks. Now, does your league give like a dunce prize for the person who finishes last?
Not in that league, no, but I've been in other leagues where that happens.
We know that. I found it very interesting. The first ever fantasy football league had a dunce prize for the last place team. They started that. That started with the first ever fantasy football league.
Huh. What was the prize?
It was just like it's like this statue with a dunce cap on the guy. And if you were in last place, you had to display that at your home for a year. And then you got to give it to the next person who lost.
Wow. Okay.
And that first fantasy football league also included Ron Wolf, who became
Green Bay Packers.
Packers Hall of Fame GM, was in the first ever fantasy football league in 1963.
Traded for Brett Favre?
That I don't remember. I don't know.
He was right there. He was there in the 90s for sure. So I'd have to double check on the Favre trade. But either way, yeah, I know Ron Wolf. God, he kicked my Lions' butt throughout the entire 1990s. Owned us. I wanted to ask too. If you had your druthers, you could never play any other sport again. What's the one you would play? Would it be football or baseball?
If I could only play fantasy football or fantasy baseball?
Yeah.
That's a tough question. Now, I'm known mostly for baseball, so if I say football, that might surprise people. Well, you know, I'm glad this is a hypothetical question. I don't have to make the choice. I mean, I want to say football because baseball is such a long grind with 162 games.
Yes.
You know, on the other hand, I'm thinking football is more interesting without the fantasy attached to it. You know, like I would, if I wasn't playing fantasy, I would watch more football games than I'd watch baseball games. So maybe I'll go with baseball to keep it more interesting.
I think baseball is growing more than it's really growing right now. I really think baseball is on the come. I do.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as they don't do that stupid golden at bat idea. I mean,
that's
the stupidest thing I ever heard of.
I loathe that idea. I'm completely with you, Larry, and I'm not just kissing your ass here. I cannot stand that idea. We've already got the ghost runner thing. I don't want to go that step farther. I don't.
I mean, I seriously might stop watching baseball if they do that. That's how much I hate that idea.
It's not soccer. Like you said, Europe has soccer and they are really good at it and they have a huge, huge source of income and ratings and that's their thing over there. We're not going to take it away from them, but don't bring your ideas into our world. That's what I say. Keep the game as it is. Tradition is maybe one of the biggest components of baseball, more than any other sport that is at least the big four in America. For real, tradition is crucial and I would never like to see that, Larry. So I'm completely in agreement with you on that one all the way. Please.
Yeah, I can't even believe they're talking about seriously. Like, you got to be kidding me.
I think they're trolling us in a way. At least that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, so. They better be.
Okay, well, this has been a fun experience on the Palazzo Podcast. Two L's.
Utah.
Two Z's.
Give me two.
We'd like to thank Larry Schechter for coming on and talking a bit about his book, talking the history of fantasy sports. And again, please check it out, The History of Fantasy Sports and the Stories of the People Who Made It Happen. Follow Larry on X. And anywhere else you want people to find you or anything else worth noting you'd like to share about where you'll be, what you're doing this year?
No, but as you were saying that, I was thinking a lot of the people that, you know, the people listening to this are, you know, a lot of them are aware of people in the industry like Bob Harris, Jeff Erickson, you know, all these other people that they're familiar with. And a lot of them are included in the book. You know, like there's a wedding planning company called The Knot.
Yes.
If they had started business about 6 months later than they did, Jeff Erickson might not be in the fantasy industry.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, is that a teaser?
That's a teaser. Here's another teaser. I love this teaser. It's so, now, this book is not about me or my opinions, but there's a couple of times that I did throw in like an opinion on something or a conclusion, just a couple of times. And one of them is, I swear to God, this is true. Monica Lewinsky helped save fantasy sports.
Wow, that is, there's no way you would have given me a million guesses I ever would have picked that one as the one, right? You were going to say.
I'm researching stuff and I'm reading stuff and I'm like, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? What I'm reading here, nobody's saying this, but what this means is Monica Lewinsky helped save fantasy sports.
I tell you what, if that doesn't get you motivated to buy The History of Fantasy Sports and the Stories of the People Who Made It Happen, I don't know what else will. That is an incredible teaser, Larry. That's an ace teaser. And I've done a lot of shows over the last 5 years. That's right there. Top five Hall of Fame. 100%.
Give me that standing ovation music again.
That's right. Woo! Woo-hoo! Yeah. You deserve it, man. That alone, let's do it. The History of Fantasy Sports. Go get this book right now and find out what the heck Larry is talking about, because now I need to know too. And also, Jeff, you know, I know Jeff. I'm in Tout Wars, and I'm grateful to be a part of Tout Wars. I don't have near the reputation that Larry has as a Tout War champ, but I'm grateful to be connected and get to know someone like Jeff. So I'd love to know, and I will find out how life could have been completely different for Mr. Erickson.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Now, yeah. All right.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Larry, for being here. It's the Palazzo Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's. Make sure you follow us everywhere you find us and check out Larry's book, The History of Fantasy Sports, please. And give us feedback, too. PalazzoPodcast@gmail.com. Did you read the book? Did you already read it? And you'd like to share, anecdote or something about the book that made you feel some kind of way? We would love to hear the feedback on that. So hit us up, and then we'll send it Larry's way as well. Okay, Larry?
All right. Thanks.
There it is, everybody. Thanks for being here, and check out Larry's book right now. Bye-bye.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.